I said good morning.
All right. I try to get you guys talking because it helps me a lot. If I talk just straight for like a half hour, it's just not good for me. And so it's nice to hear back from you. And I think it might be good for you sometimes to say some of these things. So I'll make you say some silly things. I'll make you say some good things. But I'm going to need you guys to say some things. So we're going to try that one more time. Good morning. All right, it's great to be with you. For those of you who don't know who I am, I'm another one of our pastors here at CLF. My name is Daniel. I work with the youth. And if you've been here throughout the summer, maybe you've heard me speak about love or unity, but today we're going to be talking about hope. Can you all say that word with me this morning? Hope. Very good. So if you've got your Bibles with you, I'm actually going to point to a scripture this morning in the Old Testament from Isaiah. You can look in your Bibles, or if I can get this cool thing working, it'll be up on the screen. It's on. Turn it off. Turn it on. No, it doesn't like me. Did it work? Ha! I've got control. All right. We're doing good. Yeah, the kids are going to Sunday school, by the way. Thank you so much, Al. Can you guys give it up for Al? Literally moments ago, Blair was like, you didn't dismiss the kids from Sunday school. And I was like, yep, I got it. I didn't forget. All right, so if you've got your Bibles with you, or you can look up on the screen, we're in Isaiah for a single verse in chapter 11. It says here, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from his roots a branch will bear fruit. I'm going to read it again. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from his roots a branch will bear fruit. One more time. A shoot, actually, why don't you read it with me? A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from his roots a branch will bear fruit. Now, church, this is a prophecy. And now, what's a prophecy, you might ask? A prophecy is actually a message inspired by God, given to a man or woman to be revealed to other people. And the Bible actually clarifies for us a few times in the New Testament as to what details a prophecy. So we're going to take a look at one of those passages for clarity, and it's in 2 Peter. It's actually the Apostle Peter talking, and he says, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had an origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So according to Peter, prophecy is the word of God given to a man or woman by the Holy Spirit. And if maybe you don't attend church very often, or maybe you've simply forgotten who the Holy Spirit is, there's actually three parts that make up our God. We call this the Trinity. One God, but three parts. First, we've got God the Father, it's like God in heaven. Then we've got God the Son, that's who? That's Jesus. And then we've got God the Holy Spirit, that's God with us. So the Holy Spirit has given the prophet Isaiah a word from God, a prophecy. More specifically, it's actually a predictive prophecy, speaking of an event to happen in the future. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from his roots a branch will bear fruit. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, and from his branch, from his roots, a branch will bear fruit. So some of you already know exactly what's going on here, and some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. And if you don't understand that, that's totally okay. We'll get there. So church, this is actually a life-giving prophecy given to a nation of people who have been cut down and reduced to almost nothing. And that nation is actually the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel were actually God's chosen people right from the days of Abraham at the very beginning of the Bible. In Genesis chapter 15, here's the words straight from God to Abraham. It says, this is my covenant with you, or this is my promise with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham. Cool name change. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. Can you say that word with me? Fruitful. I will make you very fruitful. There we go. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant, or my promise, as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's epic, dude. And if that wasn't enough, God actually continues a few chapters later and he says, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the sea, on the seashore. So guess what? God keeps his promise to Abraham. God always keeps his promises. Turn to your neighbor and tell them that God always keeps his promises. There we go. There we go. So Abraham ends up having a son who he names Isaac. And through Isaac, this nation begins to spark. The same nation of people that were enslaved by the Egyptians and saved by an almighty God. This is the same nation that walked across dry land in the Red Sea. The same nation presented the Ten Commandments. The same nation that marched around Jericho till God toppled the walls. The same nation that desired a king and was given a king. First Saul, then David, then Solomon, and then a line of both good and evil kings. The same nation that was crushed by the Assyrians and then by the Babylonians. The same nation that was ruled over by the Roman Empire. The same nation that's actually being so oppressed even in recent history. The same nation that we continually hear about on the news all the time. So Israel has had quite the adventure since Abraham. They've experienced great joy and great sorrow. Is there any of you in the house that have experienced great joy and great sorrow? They've been close to God and they've been far from God. Has anyone here been close to God but yet also felt far from God? Now, during the time that Israel was crushed by the Assyrians and then crushed by the Babylonians and then ruled over by the Roman Empire, you could say that Israel was going through a dark time. This actually took place over a span of 900 years. You could definitely say that Israel was going through a dark time. Their 12 tribes had been broken up. Many of their people were killed. Many were exiled. Many were enslaved. Their temple destroyed. Their culture, their religious practices were deeply threatened. The nation of Israel had been cut down to a stump. There was nothing left. No hope. Say that word with me. Hope. There was no what? Good. And the prophet named Isaiah in the first chapter of this long-lasting sorrow brings the word of the Lord from the Holy Spirit. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. Read it with me. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. See, when you're down to nothing, God is up to something. You see what I did there? See, church, there's a shoot coming from the stump. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is up to something in your life. I'm sorry, Blair. See, he was up to something in the nation of Israel, even though they'd put their hope in other gods. Even though they put their hope elsewhere. And he's up to something in your life and in my life, even if we've put our hope elsewhere. Am I the only one here that's put their hope in someone or something other than God? No. I know I'm not. We have a habit of misplacing our hope. But a shoot will come from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. See, Jesse was actually the 13th generation of the line of Abraham. Jesse from the passage here. And Jesse's son, David, became the second king of Israel. And it was Jesse's grandson, Solomon, that became the third kingdom of Israel. So we've got Abraham, then Isaac, and we skip a bunch of generations. And then we've got Jesse and David and Solomon, and we skip another two or so generations. And then we get Joseph, the father of Jesus. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. Could it be that this prophecy from Isaiah is referring to Jesus Christ? Let me read it again. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. CLF, we can celebrate because we have hope. Amen. Here it is. We have a hope. Say, I have a hope. Louder, church. I have a hope. One more time. I have a hope. So we're actually going to get out of the Old Testament for a moment. We're going to navigate to Hebrews. Did you actually know that we don't know the author of the book of Hebrews? I always thought it was interesting. For a long time, people thought it was Paul, who is an established writer in the New Testament. He wrote I think he's the second most established writer in the New Testament. And for a long time, people thought that it was him that wrote Hebrews, but it wasn't. So we don't know who the author is, but it's an incredible book that can strengthen your faith. I'd encourage you to read it. I think it's like 6 or 7 chapters long, or no, it's longer. But it's a good chapter. It's a good book. I'd recommend it. Anyways, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13, we're going to read what he says here. He says, "When God made a promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, 'I will surely bless you and give you many descendants.' And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what he was promised," because God always keeps his promises. And if we skip a few verses later, in verse 18, the author says something so interesting about faith. He says, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure." Read this with me. "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure." Now, church, what happens when an anchor is placed in the water? It sinks. You guys are good. What if there's a storm outside? Does it still sink? Even if the waves are crashing like really hard? Even if there's thunder and lightning, does it still sink? We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And hope sinks. See, hope is like an anchor. Hope gets down to the bottom and holds on tight while we're going through hell. Hope secures you. Hope will steady you. Hope will hold you. Hope protects you. It guards you. Hope shelters you. I have a hope. Say that with me. I have a hope. But church, hope is often learned the hard way. And let me explain what I mean. In Romans chapter 8, verse 24 to 25, we read, "For this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently." This is Paul's words, and Paul's describing a certain kind of hope. And I don't want us to mistake the gravity of what Paul is talking about. And so I'm going to use an example. You see, I like the Toronto Raptors. Anyone else like the Toronto Raptors? A couple of you. That's okay. You see, I hope that the Toronto Raptors will win the NBA Finals in 2020. Yeah, right? I hope that. If you're even the slightest NBA fan, you'll know quite well that Toronto actually just finished winning the NBA championship for the first time in their history with the help of their MVP, Kawhi Leonard. Now, Kawhi Leonard, this summer, had a choice if he was going to sign in Toronto or if he was going to sign with another team. And you'd think after winning the championship, he'd be really interested in Toronto. But actually, he forfeits millions of dollars to go play where he grew up in Los Angeles with the organization of the Clippers. And so, you know that it must be pretty cold in Canada if you would forfeit $49 million and go play where you grew up in Los Angeles. And so, turn to your neighbor and remind them we live in Canada and summer's almost over. Now, just for clarity here, what we're talking about in Scripture before where Paul was talking is a certain kind of hope. I'm talking about a certain kind of hope, the kind of hope you have to learn the hard way. I don't really hope that the Toronto Raptors will win the 2020 NBA Finals. I think it would be nice if they would win, but I don't really hope for that. You see, I don't want to hope that a bunch of giants that I'll never meet or never know or ever talk to will win this basketball game. I'm actually talking about a very specific kind of hope, the kind of hope you have to learn the hard way. Who here has ever had to learn something the hard way before? There we go. Now, as all of you know, some of the best things in life have to be learned the hard way. I'm going to tell you a quick story. It's actually an embarrassing story. Who here likes embarrassing stories? Yeah. Who here has a billion embarrassing stories? You're my people. I think for every embarrassing story the normal person has, I've probably got 3 additional ones. I'm the king of learning things the hard way, and Ashley could attest to this. So, not even 100 days ago, Ashley and I found ourselves vacationing in Ireland. Tough life. It was our first out-of-country vacation since our honeymoon, and we'd blocked off 2 weeks, and we rented a car, and we drove around the coastline, and we saw some incredible places. We had a blast. But one of our clear highlights was this 3-hour hike we took to see these cliffs on the west side of Ireland called the Cliffs of Moher. Anyone ever seen the Cliffs of Moher before? Anybody? Nobody? They're beautiful, aren't they? We didn't take that photo. I was a little rushed. That one's off Google. You can check it out yourself. At their highest point, they're 700 feet tall. That's literally like 107 of Darren standing on top of each other. Darren, can you stand up for us? Can you do a dance move? Can you guys give it up for our sound team back there? I was hoping he'd dance. So we decided we were going to go see these cliffs, and you've got a couple options when you go to the Cliffs of Moher. The first option is you can drive right to the top of the cliffs, and you can pay an absurd amount of money to park there, and then you can go to this really well-protected area where there's lots of tourists, and you can get these incredible views of the Atlantic Ocean. And the second option was to park about an hour and a half hike away from the cliffs for free. Can you guys say free? And to hike up the coastline in a rather unprotected and beautiful way. Who likes things for free?
Yes.
Yeah. Us too, so we hiked. And was it ever worth it? The views were extraordinary. And as we hiked, we went from farm field to farm field with cows and horses and sheep on our left and the Atlantic Ocean on our right. And we would go from one field to the next. And as we went from one field to the next, there was fences that would divide the fields. And there would be these like wooden steps that you'd climb over the fences. But as we made our way from farm field to farm field and we climbed these wooden fences, eventually we came to this area and there was a detour that took us away from the edge of the cliffs and kind of up and away down this other way. And there must have been a sign or something like that, but we missed the sign completely, and we found ourselves a little bit lost and wondering how we would get from here to there, and there was no wooden steps over the fence. And so I decided that instead of looking for these wooden steps, I would just climb over the fence. And so what I did is I took my hands and I put them on this fence, and I pushed down on the wire, and I began to put my leg over, and all of a sudden I was electrocuted through my whole body. I know. Look at that. It hurt. But I learned something that day. The first thing I learned is that the fence was electric. And the second thing I learned is to never touch that fence again. You see, it takes the experience of embarrassment to learn, I will never, can you say never? I will never do that again. Sometimes it takes the experience of pain to learn, I will never do that again. Some things in life you have to learn the hard way. Can you promise me when you get home today, maybe you're sitting around the dinner table or maybe you're putting the kids to bed, can you share some embarrassing stories? They're fun. Maybe you're having some people over after church today in the backyard, or maybe you're eating tacos. Tell them an embarrassing story. Can you do that? Okay. All right. You promised you'll do it. Let's switch gears here. Life has seasons, not spring, summer, fall, and winter. Life has seasons that we go through that are separated by significant change. Now, maybe you can actually look back in your life and you'll recognize that there's good and bad seasons. Maybe you can even recognize what kind of season you're in right now. Maybe you don't think that way and you think I'm crazy. And maybe you do think that way, but you still think I'm crazy. Either way, listen to this. The seasons of our lives that are the most fun are not necessarily the most fruitful. Let me say that again. The seasons of our lives that are the most fun are not necessarily the most fruitful. See, the seasons that we get the most out of in our lives aren't necessarily the ones that we would choose to go through again. There are seasons in your life where you can identify growth, but there are also seasons in your lives that will cut you down and take off your branches. We call these pruning seasons. But listen to this. In Isaiah 11, says, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from his roots a branch will bear fruit. Read it with me. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from his roots a branch will bear fruit. Church, I believe that God is up to something in your life. Do you believe that? Remember, the hope we have is in Jesus. Who's our hope? Very good. Jesus was the shoot coming forth from the stump. And just like as Israel was cut down to nothing and they were informed that they had a hope, let me inform you that you share the same hope as the nation of Israel, but he's already come. See, our hope has already come, but it was not easy. Think of how Jesus came into the world. Get this picture into your head. Think of how Jesus came into the world. It had to be hard. It had to be hard for Joseph to believe his wife was pregnant. It had to be hard for Mary to look people in the eye and tell them the baby in her belly was from the Holy Spirit. You see, the way Jesus came into the world shows us something about the way that God works. And I think we should take a deeper look at that. See, if you leave the nitty-gritty of Jesus' story, you strip it of its significance. So let's not sanitize it, okay? God has a reason for the way he's done things in the past, and God has a reason for the things he will do in the future. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Sometimes it's hard to believe that. God has a reason he made you, a reason he loves you, a reason he has a plan for your life. Have hope, church. To miss the struggle of Jesus' birth is to miss a window into the way that God works. See, a virgin, impossible. Her womb, impossible. God likes the impossible because nothing is impossible with God. It seems as though God purposely chose the hardest situation at the hardest times every time. And get this, when it's time for Mary to actually give birth, they're away from home and they find themselves in Bethlehem and there's no room in any of the hotels. You see, God didn't even book an Airbnb. God didn't even make hotel reservations. Now, many of you know this better than I, but childbirth in a barn is probably not glamorous. It was hard. What I'm about to say next has strengthened my soul and my faith this past week, just writing it and getting ready for today, and I hope that it can strengthen yours too. So listen close. We often think when God says he's going to do something in our lives, it's going to be easy, but it's not. It has to be hard. We often think when God says he's going to do something in our lives, it's going to be easy, but it's not. It has to be what?
Hard.
See, a quick look into the history of the Bible shows us that God likes doing things the hard way. I can tell you that I don't like doing things the hard way. I'm always looking for an easy way out. You might think I like doing things the hard way because I do things the hard way a lot of the time. But I don't like to do that. God chose and chooses to do things the hard way. And remember, there's a reason for the way that God does the things that he does. Quick look into the history of the Bible shows us that God likes to do things the hard way. So don't think you're weird if your life is hard. And don't assume that you're doing something wrong if your life is hard. Because God will often allow life to cut you down to the stump. Think of Moses. God likes to come into hard situations. He's like, Moses, when you ask Pharaoh to let my people go, he's going to say no. Moses is like, why, God? Why? What do you mean? Why is he going to say no? Why would you do this to me? Because it had to be hard. If it was easy, Moses would think it was himself. God actually hardened Pharaoh's heart, something that's so hard for us to understand. Pharaoh had to say no for God to show what he wanted to show. If it wasn't hard, you would think it was you. If it wasn't hard, you would trust in yourself, and your own ability and yourself is not an adequate support system for the glory of God. God allows impossibility to stream into your life for the same reason he allowed impossible into Mary's life and Moses' life. And nothing shall be impossible with God. It had to be hard. And when they got to the sea, the Egyptians on their tail with spears and swords and chariots, God doesn't take them around the water. That would be normal. You see, that would be human. And God's like, I'm not going to take you around the water. I'm going to take you through the water. I'm about to drown what's chasing you down. I'm going to take you the hard way. Think of David and Goliath, one rock. God likes to do things the hard way. Think of Gideon. Gideon was leading this army into battle, a battle they knew they were going to lose. Husbands, this is like arguing with your wife. You're just going to lose. So Gideon has this army of 32,000 men. Basically the population of Campbell River, but they were outnumbered 4-1. They kind of knew they were outnumbered, and God, in his nature, can you guys say nature? In his nature, God tells Gideon that he has too many soldiers. And he begins to strip the army down a little bit at a time. And God eventually takes them down to 300 men. And God takes them into the battles with the odds of one soldier to every 400 of their enemy. That's almost worse than arguing with your wife. And on God's plan, they won that battle. Because God likes doing things the hard way. And that's why God allows us to be cut down to a stump. We tend to rely on the fruit too much. But you can't always go through a fruit-bearing season. Maybe this is a season where God wants to prove your root system and show you real hope, the kind of hope learned the hard way, the kind of hope that sinks to the bottom like an anchor. See, Jesus could have come into the world like Superman, but instead he chose weakness. Can you say that word with me? Weakness. Jesus chose weakness so that you would know in your weakness that he is strong. Anyone feeling weak lately? You can be honest, church. Anyone feeling weak lately? I sure have. It's hard. See, it's hard when you wake up with half the energy you should. It's hard when you feel like you're cut down to nothing. It's hard when you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. It's hard when you get bad news. It's hard when you lose someone that you love. It's hard when you have to wait for so long. It's hard when you've been let down and let down and let down. But do not think you're weird if your life is hard. And do not assume you're doing something wrong if your life is hard. Maybe you've been cut down for a reason. Let me inform you, church, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the ability to bounce back. Let that sink in. As a believer in Jesus Christ, I and you have the ability to bounce back because God has designed you to bounce back. In order for something to bounce back, the surface must be hard. Think about that. In order for something to bounce back, the surface it hits must be hard. If it's easy, if it's soft, you don't need to bounce back. You'll be okay, right? But if you're feeling weak or cut down, it's going to be hard. But let me tell you, you can bounce back. Maybe God is not punishing you. Maybe he's preparing you. Maybe you've been cut down for a comeback. And as a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the ability to bounce back. You can hit me, but I will bounce back. You can hurt me, but I will bounce back. You can insult me, but I will bounce back. You can take all my stuff, my car, my home, my money, my job, my life, but you cannot take my hope. I will bounce back. See, the harder the bottom, the higher I will bounce back. Touch the person on your left and right and say, I can bounce back. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from his roots, a branch will bear fruit. So here's Isaiah actually seven whole centuries away from the birth of Christ. Now we have what Isaiah was hoping for, and I wonder if we take it for granted sometimes because we have it. Remember what Paul said? Maybe Paul was right. And Paul says it's harder to hope the more you have, because when you have it, you lose your ability to hope because you start to hope for what you already have and you forget to hope what you don't have. Hope for reconciliation when things aren't going well. Hope for provision when you're down to nothing. Don't forget, church, God is up to something. And you can see it in the roots. But the roots are the part of the tree that you can't normally see. That's where the action is, though. And maybe God is trying to show you the nature of true hope. See, the kind of hope that sinks deep and roots you. The kind of hope that acts as an anchor. See, I bet that for most of us, you're hopeful when things are going well. But things are not always going to be going well. Things are often not going to be going well. How is your hope when things aren't going well? See, some of the most impactful moments in your life might be when things are not going well. And hope is in the roots. It's actually below the surface and you can't always see it. Hope even after the bad report from the doctor. Hope even after the devastating news. Hope even after you've been fired from your job. Hope in the midst of broken relationship. Hope on the tail end of financial loss. Hope when you don't know how you're going to make it through. See, hope doesn't need to know how. Hope knows who. And who is that, church? Who is our hope? Jesus. I don't know how, I know who. I don't know when, but I know who. I don't know what, but I know who, because I have a hope. Hope as an anchor for my soul. But what does an anchor do? It sinks. It goes all the way down to the bottom. A shoot is coming up from the stump. So when the kingdom of Israel was cut down, God says there's a shoot coming through. And some of you have been going through things, and you might think that God is gone, but let me tell you, he's not gone. He's preparing you for growth, and he's rooting you in a deeper place. See, society would like to tell you that disappointment is the enemy of hope. But let me tell you, church, it doesn't work like that. disappointment is actually the doorway to deeper hope. You've probably already learned that you can't put your hope in people. They're not meant to hold your hope. You've probably tried putting your hope maybe in your riches or lack thereof. You know that your bank balance is not a place to put your hope. I don't need to inform you that the government isn't going to hold your hope. There are so many things that so many of us have foolishly invested our hope in. And if you're here today for the wrong reasons, I want you to leave with a new perspective. Maybe you're here because you want to make some friends. Maybe you're here because your grandma or your mom or your dad made you. Maybe you're here because you want to maintain a certain reputation. Maybe you're here because you're filled with shame. Maybe you're here because your spouse made you. Maybe you're here because your kids made you. Maybe you're here because you need help. If you're here today for the wrong reasons, I want to leave you with a new perspective. You might have come for the wrong reasons, but God has something for you, something deeper, something special, something lasting in mind. See, God wants to give you hope, but are you ready to receive it? A branch is coming from the stump, and it will bear fruit. You cannot have fruit without the branch of Jesus Christ. That's why he was born. He is the branch, and you don't have to leave this place disconnected from God. You don't have to leave today disconnected from hope. And you don't have to leave today chopped down to nothing, because a shoot is coming from the stump. Are you tracking with me? Thanks, Nadine. Come on. Jesus is our hope. Say that with me, church. Jesus is our hope. Jesus is where your hope should be. I have a hope. Is there anyone else that has a hope? Yeah. Amen. Say it with me. I have a hope.
I have hope.
See, God wants to give you something greater, something bolder, something wonderful. Who wants that? Church, who wants that? Turn to your neighbor and say, I have a hope. Blair, could you come on up? Now, I don't want to sound like a psychic because I'm not, but sometimes God puts thoughts in my head and feelings in my heart and sometimes even words in my ear. Anyone else? Sometimes God speaks to me. There are many of you in the room today who have never truly put your hope in Jesus Christ. There are many in the room today who have never put your hope in Jesus. This hope might sound familiar to you, but you're not rooted in it. And maybe if it was just me and you and we were sitting down at Starbucks this morning, maybe we were just drinking some lattes and we could chat, you might say something to me like, Daniel, I'm far away from God. And maybe you feel like you're the last person that God loves, the last person that God cares about, the last person that God's going to show his love for. Maybe that's you. Or maybe you gradually become disconnected. Maybe you had a connection at one point in your life, but you've been cut down to a stump. And from that stump, my hope this morning is that a shoot could grow from that stump. Maybe it's already started growing as I've talked. Maybe it's been growing for weeks or months. I don't think I'm completely crazy when I say that there's someone, or maybe lots of you, where a shoot has started to grow from the stump this morning. It might seem small. It might seem insignificant. If you're walking through the forest and there's these big trees with tons of fruit that are so heavy they're going to fall off, and then there's this little stump, but there's a shoot coming from that stump. You could miss it if you just walked right on by. You could miss it if you were looking up at everybody else and how everyone else is doing, when realistically maybe you're that stump with just that little shoot coming out. But I want to tell you this morning, if you have a shoot coming from that stump, if you can see just a glimpse of hope, that's God speaking to you this morning in a way that could change your direction, in a way that could change your destination, in a way that could change your entire destiny. And if you're not careful this morning, you might walk right past that stump with that small shoot and walk right back into another year of disconnectedness from hope. Putting your hope in the wrong things, putting your hope in people, putting your hope in society, putting your hope in achievements, putting your hope in money. But in this moment, if you reach out to God, he's already come near to you. One of my favorite verses in the Bible comes from James 4:8. It says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. You see, we live on this side of hope. Our hope has already come. Jesus has already come. Jesus died on the cross for your sin and my sin, so that if we believe in him, he might take our sin away. He may wipe our slate completely clean. And we can partake in everlasting life with heaven in heaven with God. So today, if you're far from God, I want to pray for you. And if you're far from God, I want to change that, and you want to change that, can you pray with me? In a moment, we're actually going to bow our heads, all of us, and we'll close our eyes together as a family. It's actually a perfect time to have your slate wiped clean, a perfect time to start over, to have your sins forgiven by an almighty God, your heart made clean, a new beginning. And in this moment, if you're like, Daniel, that's me you're preaching to, I'm disconnected, or I've never put my hope in God before, and I want to do that this morning, I urge you to call on God this morning. I can't fix that for you, but God can. See, to put your hope in the right place, to put your hope in Jesus. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, he or she will be saved. Will be what? Saved. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, he or she will be saved. All you have to do is reach out and take hold of that hope. The kind of hope that sends a shoot from the stump that's been cut down. And from its roots, a branch will bear fruit. Jesus is the branch. Take hold of him in this moment. I want everyone to close your eyes. We're going to pray out loud all together for the sake of those who for the first time are coming to God or maybe coming back to God. I want you to repeat after me this simple, beautiful, and powerful prayer. Heavenly Father, today is my day of new beginnings. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. And right now, I give my life. From this day forward, I will follow you. I receive your love. This is my new beginning. I have turned from my sin. I trust in you now. Make me a new creation. With eyes still closed, if that was your first time saying this prayer this morning, this is your decision to come back into relationship with God. I want you to shoot your hand up in 1, 2, 3. You can put your hands down. Church, you can open your eyes. I wish you could see what I just saw. There's a party in heaven right now. Church, I want you to stand up. Can we praise the Lord together? Put your hands together. Worship team, you can come on up.